How do you take the story of a Christmas movie classic released right after World War II and tell it on the stage? As a live radio play, the way it might have been performed back in the 1940s, during the early years of radio. Starting on Friday, Chattanooga Theater Center will present It's a Wonderful Life, a live radio play, which will run through Sunday, December 20th. The director is Chuck Tuttle, CTC's Director of Education. Chuck, thanks for joining us.
Mm-hmm. You're very welcome. Glad to be here.
It's a Wonderful Life. Iconic work, and you are staging this in such a challenging time. Where do you begin?
All right. What this really is it's a staged radio play. This is not our own original piece. This is an actual published script. But what they've done is they've actually given the actors each an actor character to play. So, for instance, there's one of the characters is Jake LaRont, and he will play George Bailey. And then we have one called Sally Applewhite, and she plays Mary, his wife. And then you have three other characters, actor characters, and they play about a dozen people each. Keep in mind, this is a radio drama, so you're seeing these people in a radio studio, and we are acting with our voices. So these three pair individuals that are playing all these characters are making voices for about a dozen different people and trying to make that as realistic as possible. You will see them in front of their microphones, but it's more about watching a radio play, which is a little different than what we normally do and different for our actors because they're very used to being physical and moving around. And now I'm asking them to stay still and that, you know, they have to do it to the microphone, which is very different. They want to hit the back wall with their voices. And that's not how radio works, as you know, you're a radio person. So, yeah, so that's been the biggest challenge is saying, okay, you got to pull it back. You got to pull it back. It's a microphone. So that's kind of what people will see. And Scott Dunlap, our designer, has changed our set one more time into a radio studio that's going to look very Christmassy, but also look like a radio studio with all the microphones. And we'll also have a Foley artist with a huge bench of different things to make the sound effects. They'll all be kind of live sound effects. So it'll be like watching a radio play. So I hope it's entertaining for people to see that. I think it's entertaining to watch, but it's a little different. Because of the COVID thing, we are taking many precautions, one of which is we have two casts for the show, which never see each other. And I don't even get to see in person one of the casts. I watch them on Zoom and do all my directing from there. That's so if anybody in the cast gets infected, comes down with it, or is even exposed, there's always another cast. They can always take over. We're hoping that's not going to happen, but there's always another cast. And with five of them in each cast, we're hoping that that's going to be okay. This is the third show, and we've done this twice before, and we've made it. So I think we're doing some things right. And cross our fingers, it continues to work that way. And if we talked about the audience area, they're also going to be very sparse. About 30% of our house will be available for seating, and they're seated very far apart. I've sat through the other two and never, and my wife is very, very concerned about this stuff, and she's always felt comfortable with it. So I think it's going to work pretty well for everybody. We're trying to take every precaution we can so that people can come and see Life's a Theater and not feel like they're going to endanger their health in doing so, which is not what we would want to do.
Bringing a radio play to the stage, I just think of newsreels from the 1930s and 40s, and everybody's formally dressed and they're playing these characters. And then there's the Foley artist, as you mentioned.
Yep. 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 Everybody's going to be dressed, period. We're figuring this is happening in 1946, since that's about the period that It's Wonderful Life came out, and they'll be dressed in the period costume. So you'll see that. And the set should look like a period piece too, like it was coming from that place. And we've set it in a recording studio, WLTC, in Chattanooga, Tennessee. So they'll kind of get that sense of what the old radio recording studios were like. I hope, you know, we're doing it off what we can see from photographs and things like that, trying to figure it out. But we're trying to be as clear and authentic as possible.
Since I say call letters all day, you'll have to share with us why WLTC.
Little Theater Company, that's our original name. And actually, I think it's still the official legal name, though they're in the process of changing that. It's now known as the Chattanooga Theater Center, but it was the Little Theater Company for a long time. So that's where the LTC comes from.
Let's talk more about the sound effects. Not only do you want to convey the sound, but this is a radio play on stage.
Yeah. I mean, what challenges are we still trying to figure out? I got to say that one of the not so obvious hardest one is a car door of the period. and you can't exactly go get a car door. First of all, they're not of the period. And secondly, they're very expensive and very big, and we don't have that much space. So what do we have that can create a car door sound but not be a car door? And that's been a bit of a challenge, and we're working on it. I think the hardest thing has been to get the car door to squeak a little bit. And you think, you know, you have squeaks all the time on your doors, but when you want them to squeak, they don't squeak. So we're working on that. So that was a big one. They, at one point, Clarence goes into the water and George goes after him, dives into this water. And so that's a big deal, is how we get the sound of people diving in water without getting everybody wet. That was kind of a big one. We're still nuancing the sound. We've got what we're going to do, but we're still trying to nuance how we make the sound better. So those were a couple of the big ones. Absolutely amazing how many car doors there are in this show. Is it that another one, you know? So that was probably the biggest ones that the Foley artists are doing. Doors, of course, shutting. Screen door, which is different than a regular door. So we had to figure that out. Car horn, which we finally bought a old, kind of like a Model T replica car horn. And because it happens in different times, things kind of change over it, because it starts in 1919 and goes up to 1945. So there's a lot of differences. Part of the problem for the actors has been that too, that the characters age. And so this has been a lot of conversation. We actually see George and Mary as little children. George is probably 12, 13, and Mary's, you know, 9, 10, something like that. And so the characters playing those have to create those voices and then create them as they get older. We see Mary at 18, and then we see her married in her 30s. There's a big difference there. And so they're playing with those ideas of how to make those voices different. They've pretty much got it down, and I'm really just impressed by the masterful way they've created so many different voices. We worked long, hard on doing that, and they've done a great job of it. Now it's just a consistency thing. We're talking about, okay, you kind of slipped out of that one into the other one. They said, yeah, I'm going to get that right. Because it's easy to do, you know. And sometimes some of the actors are up there by themselves doing a scene with three people. And so they're making three different voices, one after the other. I think there's one where they actually, one of the guys, Freddie Fillmore, does four voices in one scene, in one page. He does four voices. So it's a lot. And they're going back and forth. So that's been kind of interesting.
And bringing this story to the stage and doing it as a radio play, there are things that everybody recognizes if they have seen the movie, but at the same time, it takes it out of the space of too easily falling into caricature. I'm thinking of everybody thinking they can do a Jimmy Stewart impression.
Yeah, and this script follows the movie very closely, because the movie, of course, came first and someone adapted this to the movie. And it follows it fairly closely. It has to change in a few places, which it does. And because of that, you can't get entirely away from Jimmy Stewart and George Bailey, because what they're going off of is a lot of the stuff Jimmy Stewart did in the movie. And his syntax is in there. You can read it. I mean, the way he goes in, and I'm not going to, what are you talking about? That's in there. And so it's a matter of how do you make it your own? And so the actors have been working very hard on that. Dennis and I had a conversation early on. He's saying, well, I don't want to parrot Jimmy Stewart, but I said, well, but it's going to come out a little bit. There's not a whole lot you can do, you know? So yeah, that's been a thought. We've been thinking about that, but you're going to see the characters and you're going to be thinking back on them. And if anybody wants to say, gee, I like the way they did it better, that's fine. Cause you know, we're just making our best shot at it, you know? And I think the actors do a very good job. One of the things about having been closed for so long is our actors are just thirsty to do anything. And so I had a lot of veteran actors who've done a lot on the stage with us over the years audition for this thing. So I was kind of blessed with a cornucopia of talent to pick from. So I have broadcasters in this, which helps. Like I mentioned, Greg Rambin is in it and has lots of experience, and that comes out. You can see that. And I have people I haven't seen in years. Joey Winslet, who worked with me in the youth theater, has come back now as an adult and was always good with voices. And he's doing some wonderful voices. And it's been kind of fun. So I think the big thing is it's a listening experience. And I think they're going to enjoy that. And I think they're going to enjoy watching the actors physicality, because they're still posturing themselves up there, and how they create these different characters physically as they're trying to make this sound vocally right. So I think that's going to be a lot of fun for the audience too. I'm hoping, you know, this is an experiment. We're finding these things out, and I think it's fascinating, but I suppose I like a lot of things other people don't. I'm not sure. I think people are going to really enjoy watching this though. It's going to be a kind of a tour de force.
And people need this story, especially now.
Oh, tell me about it. Yeah, you know, I don't think it's hyperbole to say that 2020 sucked. sucked royally. And I told the actors that this is kind of our gift to the community at the end of this horrible year we've had, to do something that talks about redemption. It talks about community and how communities can come together and really care about each other, and how one man can make a difference. I think George Bailey is the greatest hero in cinema history, to tell you the truth, because, you know, it's one thing to charge into a burning building or something. It's another thing to give away every one of your hopes and dreams, which is exactly what he does to help this town. He doesn't want anything to do with this town. He wants to leave. He wants to travel. He wants to build dams and bridges and big things. And he gets sucked into this building alone. He tells his dad, I don't want to be stuck in an office. I want to go do big things. And then his father dies. And they say, but if you don't stay, it goes away and no one will have houses, because the fiendish Henry Potter is not going to do that. He doesn't care about that stuff. And George Bailey says, I have to stay. This is the interesting thing about him. He can't let it go. There's a wonderful moment where he's in the, they're like, talking, his dad is dead, and he's kept the affairs together, and now they've said, now you've got to go back to college, we'll take care of it. And Potter says, well, I think we need to dissolve this building and loan because we don't need it. And George is leaving that meeting. He's leaving that meeting, and he can't. He says, just a minute, wait a minute. I've got to stick up for my father. I've got to say good things about this place. He can't do it. He cannot walk away. That is an amazingly noble thing when you think of someone who has to do the right thing, who desperately wants to do other things and gives it all up. As far as we know, he never leaves that town. He tries to go on his honeymoon. He can't get out on his honeymoon. He gets dragged back in because of the crash, you know, the big Black Friday thing. He's an amazing character. And I think that's what we really gravitate towards is, and I guess he's a tortured character, because he comes out of this, you know, he says, my life's not worth anything. I've caused all these problems. Clarence keeps saying, you don't see the good you've done. You don't see what you've done in your life. And it's not until he doesn't have that life anymore that he's able to see what an amazing, amazing life he did have and what good he's done, you know? And I think that ending is just heart-wrenching when he's there and all these people who, you know, he's helped over the years come in with their money and say, here, you need it. Here it is. That's what we should be. That's what we are as human beings. We're not what we've been showing ourselves to be. And we need to be reminded of that. And I think this is a play that can do that for us. That's why people watch it at Christmas time. Christmas is about redemption. All the good stories are about redemption. And this is a play that redeems us all, I think.
And where can people go online to find out more?
Chattanooga Theater Center. Our phone number is 267-8534. That's our box office. And Katie, our box office manager, is there Tuesdays through Fridays, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. But you can always leave a message and they'll get it there. Or you can go online at www.theatercenter.com. There's a ticketing right there on their homepage. You'll see tickets and you can buy tickets online and get them. We're doing we seat everybody because we need to keep them socially distant. But we try to get good seats for everybody. If you have a group of four or five, we can kind of seat you together for your family and keep you separated from everybody else. But the ushers have been instructed on how to do that. And because we're not selling all the seats, it's not very crowded, so it doesn't really cause a whole lot of wait. There's not a wait. It's been pretty fast. They've got it down to a science now. They're doing very well at seating people. So I encourage everyone to come out and try this out. Masks are required inside at all times, and that helps keep everybody safe. The actors won't be wearing masks when they're on stage, but they are wearing them as soon as they get off stage. And we keep them 6 feet apart on stage so that they're not infecting each other. And we're not seating the first row or two. And that's, you know, we've got a good 20 feet, 25 feet between where the actors are and the audience is. So we're trying to be very careful with all this stuff. Just come and try the show out. It's different. And I think it'll give them an uplifting Christmas.
And theatercenter.com, theater R-E, center theater, R-E.
Yes, theater R-E, center R-E. Not my fault before I got here, but, you know, it is what it is.
And more. Chuck, thanks so much.
Thank you, Ray. I appreciate everything you do.